I'd like to thank this episode's sponsor, the Lisa Rector team at Keller Williams Realty. There are a lot of realtors out there, many great options to choose from. However, when making the choice when buying or selling a home, maybe look at the heart behind the realtor. Lisa supports philanthropy throughout our area, is a mom of three little ones, and wife of a Champaign firefighter. She also is a huge supporter of women in our area, period. You can tell a personal mission of hers is to shine a light on those that may not always get the recognition they deserve. As a busy mom, Lisa understands how valuable and priceless someone's time is. No looking at houses out of your budget, out of the neighborhood you prefer. Your deal breakers and must-haves will be respected and remembered when showing you homes. When selling, showings and negotiations will be done keeping your time and privacy of the utmost importance. The team uses efficient practices so that no time is wasted from the move to the move in, from the sell to the buy. Find your family's next happy home with the Lisa Rector team at Keller Williams. With over 10 years of experience, the Lisa Rector team is built around developing lifetime relationships for all your real estate needs. Whether you are buying or selling, they will make sure your experience is enjoyable. Visit the Lisa Rector team.kw.com. City lights looking fine, and I know this is my time now. I'm gonna be myself, or I could be someone else. No one's stopping me now. I'm gonna skip my breaks, I'm gonna make mistakes. I just wanna feel alive. It's just what I do when I'm out, so try not to hold me down. Feel alive when I'm in this town. Hey, this is Champaign, Illinois native Emily Harrington coming to you from Kitchen Table Studios in the ever-evolving, sometimes boring, flatlands of Champaign-Urbana for the next podcast episode of Hyperlocals, where townies and transplants share their tales of tears and triumphs, losses and wins. So stay tuned to catch the characters behind the beloved Twin Cities of CU.
Tales from two townies
with
Andrew
and Emily.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the next episode of the Hyper Locals podcast. We're in Boston.
Lost in Boston.
On remote location, which is usually when we do our podcasts because we just don't have time at home. We try to do this.
She likes to seclude me in a hotel room.
Lock you up.
Yep.
Throw away the key.
Yep.
We tried to do this at home before we left.
Didn't work.
What happened?
I kind of forget, but I think you were upset with me about something.
Uh-huh. It was a full-blown.
Full-blown. She's like, we're not doing this. I was like, are we going to do this or not?
No, it was a full-blown.
I had it all set up. I had it all set up.
It was a full-blown.
I don't even remember why you were upset.
Meltdown.
Yeah, why were you melting down?
I can't remember
She's
now.
She's too stressed.
I can't remember now. I think we should start with, I've had surgery.
Yes.
And remember?
Yes, and?
And I was panicked and freaked out and recovering from hernia surgery.
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
So I was still in the midst of an emotional breakdown. Maybe I didn't feel emotionally supported.
Emotional. You're on those drugs.
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Coming off them then. She was coming off the narcotics.
I don't think my nurse, Andrew was such a good nurse in the beginning. And then about a week in, as soon as I start to like feel a little bit more like myself.
All right. Here's the problem. Can I explain this?
No.
I'm the nurse and you're like in bed and I'm like nursing you and you're resting. But then you cannot sit still.
Uh-huh.
So you're doing like all your chores and everything and you're not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, oh, I'm a bad nurse, but like you're walking around doing everything.
So
it's like, how am I supposed to nurse you when you're going and doing everything? And so then as soon as I like let up, you're like, ugh.
So you got the impression that I was feeling better because I was able to do things.
Yeah, because it's like you were back to your normal self, but you were doing everything.
So when
then you got really bitter at me because it was like I wasn't like coming to your bedside and I had to go back to work. So it was like, you know.
So did you feel justified in your behavior?
Yeah, I think I did a little bit. I don't know. What was my behavior? I don't even know what
I remember that you weren't supporting my feelings.
No, I was. You were just very hypersensitive.
Okay, so you think I was hypersensitive and you
I was still
had no
helping
fault.
You just needed to direct me.
So did you feel any fault in it?
No.
Really?
I mean, not really. A little bit, maybe.
Okay, you apologized.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like you just apologized to placate me?
I apologized, yes. Uh-huh. Because I wanted you to feel better.
Okay, so you...
And I'm sorry if I was not nursing you as you needed to be nursed.
Okay.
But I just need more communication, that's all.
Okay, so you just apologized right now, right?
Yes.
Was that a genuine apology, or is that a placating apology?
I don't know. Let's just move on. I don't want to... We need to entertain our listeners.
You told me you apologized for no reason.
No, I did. I apologized for a reason. I can't remember. That was like so long ago. I can't like recall.
Oh, I recall.
Well, then you explain it.
I did. I wasn't feeling emotionally supported.
Okay. Well, I think I was. I was.
I did not do that.
All right.
Nolan just knocked over my camera.
Oh my gosh.
I did not do that.
I have a picture of Emily putting this camera up. It's so janky.
Really?
I mean, it's like on the bed, on like a box.
Oh, you have a picture of it?
Yeah, it was just so funny. I'm like, I got to get a picture of this.
Nolan.
Okay.
Okay.
We're
Did
in a tiny hotel room
Nolan?
And the boys are on.
No. Nothing.
Okay, because of my surgery, it was like a last minute decision whether I was going to come to Boston or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Are you glad I came?
100%. I think you're glad you came too. This has been a great trip.
I had hernia surgery.
She loves it so much she wants to move here, people.
I love Boston.
You could never move.
I could move.
No, you could not.
I want the boys to go to school here.
Well, let's see. There's Harvard, MIT, Boston U, Tufts.
Uh-huh.
Those are all pretty good schools. They better crack down on their studies.
I think one of them could get in.
Maybe.
One needs to go to U of I, I feel like, and stay close. And one, I want to be on the East Coast.
Okay, all right.
But they're choosing Florida State and LSU at this moment.
Okay, do they go with what they want to do, or do they go with what their mom wants them to do? Tough decisions.
What do you think?
You know what? They can do whatever they want. They don't have to go to college if they don't want to.
Oh, you want them to get in a trade?
Whatever they want to do, I don't care.
That's interesting that you say that, because often you say someone needs to become a lawyer. So you're taking
that? Yeah, I'm hoping one of them does become a lawyer, because, you know, we got... four generations in the law firm. It'd be nice to get a fifth.
So should they do what they want to do or what daddy wants them to do?
I'm just putting that in their putting little Easter eggs or carrots in their head.
Speaking of Easter eggs,
happy Easter,
Andrew.
Happy Easter.
Which has been a good Easter.
Yeah, we went to the oldest Catholic church in New England, St. Leonard's.
Standing room only
in the north section of Boston, the big Italian neighborhood. It was really cool, you know. We went to a nice pastry and coffee, old school Italian places, you know. This place is so Italian, they actually have an Italian mass at 9:30 where they speak all Italian.
That's wild.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
I like
the
priest.
Out of The Godfather, like the Italian neighborhoods.
Yeah, it was really, really cute.
Yeah.
As Andrew said, he's coming around to Boston. Maybe I'll get you here.
I like Boston, but I don't see me moving here.
This is my favorite big city that I've ever been to.
Oh, interesting.
Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I mean, it's up there for
beats
me.
Beats LA, beats Chicago, beats New York.
I don't know. I like New York. I've always liked New York.
You think it's up there with New York?
Yeah.
Interesting that East Coast is like
we haven't
a
been
pull.
To me. I mean, I liked Denver. I haven't been to Seattle. San Francisco was nice, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, I liked San Diego. I thought that was great.
That was a long time ago, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I like, you know, Austin. I thought was cool. I don't know. It just depends.
Austin is so different.
It just depends. There's a lot of nice places. It's, you know, different cities have different areas, you know. Kind of depends on where you go.
Speaking of Boston, it was a last minute decision where I'm going to try to go reverse, so stay with me.
Okay.
It was a last minute decision for me to come here. It was a last minute trip in general.
Because the Illini.
Because we were following around the Illini. Now, I had hernia surgery now almost 3 weeks ago.
Hernia. Sorry.
Almost 3 weeks ago,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Prior to that, I got a pre-op physical. I'm going to go in reverse. Okay?
This is the same doctor you told you loved him.
Yes.
He was going out
remember
the door.
That from yep. a good... Yep. Good job.
Thank you.
Good in putting that together.
Yes.
Yes. Same doctor I told I loved him in a previous episode. And I was getting my pre-op physical and they do labs.
And that evening...
Oh, yeah. My mom was over. She came over to eat dinner with us because she was leaving the next day. She was in town for like 2 days. We're finishing dinner.
Andrew, I was like in the middle of the story.
And we get a call. 1, 2, 3, go.
7 p.m. that morning, about 8, I had gotten a physical, labs drawn. 7 p.m., patient advisory calls and says, we got your labs back. Your potassium levels are off the charts and your calcium is low. You need to go to the emergency room. Your mom's right there. Andrew's right there. So they can literally hear the conversation.
Yeah, they're like, you need to go to the emergency room now. You could have a stroke any moment.
And we're like, what? They're
like, yeah, this is dangerous levels.
Okay. And I literally was like, is this real? So I said, I think I just said okay. Hung up the phone.
Yeah, she's like, you need to go to the emergency room. We're like, what?
And I hung up.
And you're like, I think I'm good. I was like, no, you need to go to the emergency room.
So we just kind of like went up on our evening, kind of.
Well, we kind of cleaned up dinner. My mom was helping get the kids to bed. And then you just went to the emergency room.
No, Andrew. Then the doctor called.
Yeah.
30 minutes later. I hope you're on your way to the emergency room, she said. And she said, this is the one who'd given the physical that morning. She goes, your potassium is off the charts. You could go into heart failure at any minute. You need to get to the emergency room. I go, okay. So then I took it seriously. So I drove myself. Of course, Andrew wanted to come. And well, I said, stay.
Yeah. They were like, you need to have someone drive you. And I was like, I'm going to go. You guys stay here. Because you did.
Andrew, you why insisted. Do you do my voice like no, that?
You insisted I stay home.
Yes. Because I didn't think anything was wrong. Oh my God. I wasn't having any symptoms. They're like, are you hot? Is your arrhythmia? Like, and I was feeling 100% fine. Although, when they told me, I started to feel a little funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a placebo. You're like, yes. Oh my God, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, a little bit.
You're like, oh, I'm tingling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did get in the car. I drove myself.
Yep.
I got there. Told them the situation, told them my name. It took a few minutes. I was like, if I'm sitting in this waiting room while they think I'm dying, I'm going to be pissed. And almost immediately, they got me in a bed. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They hooked me up to a machine that could regulate my heart, like see all of the...
Like EKG machine?
Yeah, EKG.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. Like thousands of sensors, ran another lab line.
They're like... You have a broken heart. Did your husband hurt you?
Well, the first part of this conversation did break my heart.
No, I'm kidding. Okay.
It did.
I know. Anyways, yes.
Are you okay with that?
We've been over that. We've moved on.
You said you apologized for no reason.
Dude, I apologize. But like,
but it wasn't
genuine.
Here's the
thing. When you're like insisting on an apology, it's hard for anyone to like
apologize. I didn't insist on an apology.
No, I'm saying at the time, you're like, I need an apology.
I didn't insist.
That's like 99.9% of the time.
You gave me a genuine apology because you felt bad.
I did.
And now...
I don't remember. I don't honestly remember.
In hindsight, you're saying you just apologized.
No. I apologized.
I know you did, but was it genuine?
Yes, genuine.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because I'm a genuine person.
No, why did you apologize?
I don't remember, honestly.
You don't remember.
I don't remember that.
I wasn't feeling emotionally supported.
And I said, oh, I think it was like, yeah, I will nurse you again. So then I think the next day I was making sure you were okay.
Yeah, you snapped
too. I snapped too. I fell off and I snapped back. Okay, it happens. We're human. Okay? I'm not a nurse. Okay, I didn't get my nursing license.
You did a good job. Like the first 7 days.
Thank you. Okay? You know what? I'm learning as we go.
Okay. So I'm in the room, I'm on my computer messing around because I'm like, if this is going to take a while, I'm going to do some, you know, X, Y, and Z, a little side work, right? And then they took my labs, they ran the labs, and they said the rapid, just like if you got a strep, rapid test came back and everything was normal.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you have to wait another hour because we're going to do like the long-term labs. And they did the long-term labs and my blood cells, right, in the tube... When he drew my blood that morning, had burst open.
Yeah.
And contaminated the sample.
They said that could happen occasionally. Like, whenever you get a sample, sometimes your blood cells can burst or something. It's not like a bad thing. I mean, and when that happens, it screws up all your levels. And that's what happened.
But so, it was traumatic.
Yeah, it was. I agree. That's kind of, you know, you don't expect a call at 7:30 that you're going to, you know, rush to the emergency room because your labs are off.
And not to mention that would have affected the surgery.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at it's hemolysis.
Okay.
Also known by several other names is rupturing of red blood cells.
Mm, wow.
But Andrew, I live another day.
You do. She keeps on living.
And then, ironically, shortly after that, I got a little filler under my eyes. We're just going to talk about my health issues. God,
yeah. This annoys me.
Okay, go.
She gets, like, she doesn't need anything, and she gets, like, a little filler or Botox. Whatever you do, you get it in your eyes. Where did we have to go after that? We were all out. And, of course, she has freaking black eyes for, like, 4 or 5 days after, and we have to go places.
Yeah.
And I'm with
you. The school.
We had to go to the school.
Nolan's presentation.
And Emily's walking through our kids' schools with black eyes. And I'm walking with her. And everyone, I don't care what you think, everyone, it's just the way we are thinking, oh, her husband must beat her. So then I'm like, oh, God, the guy that's like punching his wife because she's got black eyes. So, 90% of, like, everyone that sees a woman with a black eye, like a house, like a wife is going to be thinking like she's getting beat at home because she has black eyes. And now you're walking around in the public with black eyes. And I'm like right by you. I'm like, what is going on?
That particular day, we had Nolan's presentation at the school.
I'm like, why?
I had to serve hot lunch at the school.
And then you had to like tell people, right? You just have to oh, yeah, I got stuff done.
Girls on the run. I'm a coach at the school. God, and no one said anything, but those little girls are so brutally honest. They go, Coach Emily, what happened? Because I was overcompensating with concealer.
This is ridiculous.
So it just...
Yeah, and you could still see it. It's like, why would you pay money to have black eyes?
Terrible.
It's like the same, like, why do you pay money to have ripped-ass jeans? Why do you pay money just to have your eyes look like someone socked you with a baseball?
Because after the fact, Andrew, it looks refreshed.
I guess. Just,
so then I go into the surgery... And they have to document, like, what's wrong with you, like, if you have earrings in.
Is everything okay at home?
If you have any bruises or cuts or whatever. So they kept asking me, okay, so you do have a black eye. Because they need to know what you look like going in so they can compensate for going out, right? So I go into the hernia surgery with a big black eye.
Ridiculous.
Did you feel a certain way about it?
Yeah, I felt judged for no reason when I'm with you and you have black eyes, like I said. It's ridiculous. Everyone's looking at me. I feel like I'm the one getting all like the, what's going on in their marriage? She's got black eyes.
And then you say, just listen to the pod.
I don't even know. It's ridiculous.
Surgery day. Take me there. Me coming out of surgery, of hernia surgery.
Oh, you were so whacked out. I had to put you in the car and you're just like, whoa. And like,
so I
just like laying in the passenger seat. I had to go like get your medicine, and we go to the drive-thru at CVS, and you're just like laying with your mouth open in the passenger seat, like, huh? I'm like, everyone's looking at me as you're just like passed out in the passenger seat.
With the black eye.
It just looked bad.
And they're asking me questions?
No, they're asking me, and I'm just like, oh, they're like telling me about your med. I'm like, oh, yeah. She's like, have you ever taken this? I'm like, I don't think so.
Everyone keeps asking me questions, and all I want to do is sleep. Yeah. I had a really hard time coming out. We were supposed to get out of there at what time?
Right. I'll tell you why you had a hard time coming out. She can't eat for like 24 hours before, or 12 hours, right?
12.
So she makes us get up at 3 a.m. to go on a 5-mile run at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Right. What time did we have to be at surgery?
At like 5, or he wanted to shower before, so we literally, I'm not lying, had to wake up at 3:30.
Yeah,
we were running down Prospect by 4 in the morning. No cars are out on the road, and me and you were running down Prospect all the way to like Savoy and back for 5 miles, so we can get your last like workout in before you had your hernia surgery.
But I was trying to support your marathon training.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was actually I did not want to do it, but we did it.
Of course.
And it was great. Mm-hmm. And it was actually kind of nice. But it's just kind of weird at like 4 a.m. It's like we're out there running and the town is just dead.
I know. It's so nice.
And it's like creepy when you see like a car go by. But anyways,
Andrew my thinks point that's is, why I had a hard
she
time.
She has
out.
Like no food, and then she's like working out on a hard workout before your surgery. So, yeah, I think that caused a lot of the troubles coming out of the surgery.
What time are we supposed to be out of there, and what time we get out?
We're supposed to be out at like 11, and you know, you took 2 more hours because you were like nauseous. I'm like, yeah, because she's She's probably super dehydrated. Like, they need to get more fluids in you. And you were nauseous. Yeah, so I think...
They tried to lift me out of the bed, and I felt like I was going to pass out, so I had to get back in.
Yeah.
And that kind of postponed everything.
Yeah. I don't think they recommend, like, going on a hard workout right before you go in.
I wouldn't call that a hard workout.
Well, it's longer than you typically go.
Yeah. So you think that's what it all is?
I mean, yeah.
But you just said...
And you couldn't have any water, too, right? You couldn't, like, drink anything.
Previously, didn't you say you weren't a nurse? Not a medical professional?
I know, but I have a general knowledge of the body.
You do?
Yes.
Of the anatomy?
Yes. Hydration. I'm a hydration expert.
Well, we're going to get into hydration later. Yeah,
okay.
On your marathon stories.
Yes.
Can you tell me about the doctor showing you the pictures? That scenario. Where am I? Where are you?
I'm in the waiting room. He comes out very nice, and he shows me photos of the surgery. Yeah. So I got to see it all.
On his...
cell phone.
He has pictures of...
of this, of
my tum-tum.
Of your procedure, yeah. I thought it was very nice. He walked me through it.
Would you rather have not seen those, or are you glad you saw them?
I'm glad I saw them. I mean, I saw you give birth to both our kids, so it's nothing I haven't seen.
But you seem like a little queasy peasy.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I don't like to talk about this stuff when I'm, like, eating. You
okay.
Know? If I'm just talking about it, like, now, I'm fine. But if I'm, like, sitting down with food in front of me, no, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, you don't have food in front of you.
No.
What does the hernia look like?
It was like a little, like, almost like a marble. Like, that's a big marble of, like, tissue.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And these are on his cellular device.
Yeah. Or, like, I don't know. Yeah, it looked like it was a cell phone.
Do you feel like you have a personal relationship with him now?
Yeah, we're bros.
Do you feel like you'd golf with him?
I don't know if he golfs. He skis, so maybe we can go skiing.
You just never skied.
No.
He looks like a professional skier.
Probably, yeah. He would, yeah. I'd go sledding. He could ski.
Okay, let's go into the dehydration.
All right. I've had a lot of episodes of dehydration. Starting when I was in high school, football, two-a-days.
Well,
I almost
died. Like I talked about, I was supporting you in that 5-mile run with your marathon training.
Yes.
Right.
No, you're just like, get up, fatty, and run. I'm
Speaking
kidding.
Of That's get up, joke. Fatty.
What?
There's a cookie place here in Boston called...
Well, it was in Salem. We went to Salem the other day. We took a train there, and it was called Goodnight Fatty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Andrew tried to make a joke.
We were on a ghost tour at like 8:30 at night. We go up, and the guy was like, oh, there's a great cookie place called Goodnight Fatty. And I was like, that's what my wife says to me every night. And no one like...
No one laughed.
No one laughed. I did.
You
did.
Chuckled.
Actually, you did, because you thought the guy said it. And you were like, did he say that? I was like, no, that was me.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was funny, but I don't think anyone really heard me.
I think we might have talked about this on the pod, but you believe, as a nurse, right, as a professional medical person,
yep.
that in high school, you suffered dehydration so bad that it affected the rest of your life.
I'm a sweater. I sweat
a lot.
We've
talked about this.
Two-a-days. Like, my senior year, or was it junior year?
Which I think had been banned.
I think it was my senior year. Yeah, we had two-a-days, and it was really hot. Yeah, I was so dehydrated after the morning session. I think it was just the morning one. It wasn't even both days, and... super dehydrated. I'll never forget. I went home and my whole body was cramping up. My arms, my legs. Like, I tried to take a cold bath. And I remember, like, my mom had to, like, help me out of the... I was cramping up all over. My back muscles were cramping. My legs and my arms. Like, every muscle in my body was cramping.
She had to put you in an ice bath.
Yeah. I was, like, so dehydrated. I probably should have gone to the hospital and got... I didn't. But I was fine after that. A key at the time is to take... You ever heard of Pedialyte? I think they actually have, like... it's for, like... I'm not even kidding. I think they have that, like, Pedialyte for, like, it's like Gatorade now. They have, like, a version of it. But at the time, I think my coach told me to get some, so I got some. I was, like, chugging that stuff because it's, like, really helps with dehydration.
Do you think I haven't heard of Pedialyte?
I don't know. But do you know they have that as, like, a Gatorade drink now?
Wait, is it Gatorade or is it Pedialyte?
No, it's Pedialyte brand, but it's, like, Pedialyte a sports brand? Drink now. It's,
oh,
like, it's like a dehydration sports. Like, they have, like, a version of it that's, like, used for, like, athletes now, not, like, just for babies.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
The thing about this is it was a no-no to miss practice, right?
Oh, dude. And then I went to the afternoon practice. I remember telling the coach because he was asking how I was doing. And I was like, yeah, I was like so out. But I went and just like, I don't think I practiced the second. I just kind of like sat out, but I still went.
And he called the house if you're okay.
Yeah.
Which like, I'd say unheard of.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a hot day. And I was, like I said, I was sweating. I was probably really dehydrated. I'm sure like the night before, knowing me, junior, senior year, I'm sure I was out getting my party on, you know.
So my 5-mile run in that morning was your party on the
yeah,
night before.
I'm sure I was throwing some back, knowing us in high school, like August before school. Yeah, I'm sure we were out probably throwing down some 30 packs and living it up, you know, Bush Light.
So from that point on, you feel like that's like changed the chemistry of your body.
Well, I think I've always just, I think that was like a big episode because then I started, I went to law school and I trained for my first marathon.
Oh God, this is so
my first marathon 2010 was my dad. We did Chicago together and I had another terrible episode.
But training, Andrew, when training? We lived in the Tuscany apartments, you trained with your dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I got really sick one day.
Really sick.
Yeah. I was like in the back, kind of like that. I got really sick.
And you started throwing up in our bathroom.
Started throwing up.
And then you're like, Emily, come in here. And you thought it was blood and it was red Gatorade.
It was just the Gatorade. But yeah, I got really sick, dehydrated.
That was first one, my experience with you.
And then the Chicago Marathon that year when I ran it, like at mile 20 or maybe it was like six, and maybe before that. Really dehydrated. It was like a death march to last. Like I finished, but it was like run and walk because I was cramping up all over. My dad had to help me. And I finished, but like we went to a nice dinner afterwards and I was throwing up.
Gibson's,
like,
right?
I had to go back to the hotel room and like just.
He was head down on the table.
Just throwing up because I sweat a lot. And then when you sweat, you like, I'll sweat like white foam sometimes. It's all the sodium. And if you don't, you got to make sure you like your electrolyte. You can't just drink water too because that'll like really be really bad for you. So it's just a. You know, it's just the way it is.
So then we went to a nice hotel in Chicago, the Peninsula, and right outside the hotel in front of those big lion statues.
I threw up, yeah. I got nauseous and threw up.
Yep.
That was marathon one.
Marathon one, yeah. My first three marathons, I cramped up in every one.
Really?
Yeah.
Chicago?
Chicago, Champaign, I cramped up at like mile 20, and then that was like 2006.
But you finished. Three
was back at Chicago. No, was it three? Three was Champaign again.
Okay.
And
that
again,
went well, right?
Went well, but I cramped up again.
Okay.
It wasn't like a bad dehydration episode. Those ones too I didn't like get sick. I was just really bad cramps, like leg cramps. And I finished, but it was just like kind of like hurting at the end. And then my last marathon I did in 2018 was Chicago, and I went at a much slower pace. And I remember like I don't know what I did. I think I just went, it was slower, the weather was nicer.
Yes,
and
cold.
I didn't cramp up at all. I actually finished, and I finished fine. And that was my last one I done.
And you felt so good after that one.
Felt good, yeah. And now I'm training again for the Champaign one here at the end of April.
Okay, so this will be five, is that right?
This will be five, yes.
And I want to talk about every other previous one. You were not at your healthiest, is that fair? Yeah.
I mean, I go through bouts, but like I said, you know my history of the pod.
Yeah.
You know, smoking, like
pot.
I'd probably go through a phase or two, where I'm like smoking and running. Yeah.
So that
like, sometimes
was
I'd go train, I'd be like, I'd love it because I could like, you know, you'd always know if I was like sneaking it. So like the best thing to do is like, oh, let me go get a puff and I'll go run like 10 miles and I'll like be in my head. And then hopefully I'll like sober up by the time I have to see you and you won't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like kind of common, you know, back then.
So will this be your first sobes?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I haven't done, I mean, let's see. This is now almost, this is 13 months over. So yeah, this is going on 14 months.
And you are suffering from a little injury that we're a little worried about.
I got a really bad Achilles injury all of a sudden. Yeah. And I think we'll probably talk about this. The road tripping I've been doing from driving to Iowa, Minneapolis, Omaha, doing these long road trips for the Illini, watching them. I don't put it on cruise control in my car. So I'm always got my foot on the pedal or kind of like dialing in the pedal a lot. And I just realized talking to my dad, like, I think I have like a injured Achilles on my right foot now. And when I run with it, it's just like killing me.
So
even walking in Boston, like just now, I ran this morning and we walked and I'm like limping around the church because my freaking Achilles hurts. It'll loosen up a little bit, but it's just like hurts.
So you think you suffered an Achilles injury from following
the Illinois basketball team around. I don't think it's an injury. I think it's like inflamed Achilles. When I'm worried is when you read about these, it's like if you're not careful, you can like rupture it.
Andrew.
So I'm like, oh shit, am I gonna hurt, like really hurt myself? Like, I don't know. I don't think I am.
Do you think you're able to do this?
I'll do it, yeah. If I have to, I'll walk. I don't care. I'll finish.
No matter what, you're gonna finish.
I'll crawl if I have to. Hello.
The housekeeping's here. Sorry, can we have 10 minutes?
Do you need service?
10 minutes?
10 minutes?
Yes, thank you. Okay, just FYI, we have been gone all freaking morning. And I knew as soon as we sat down to do the pot, housekeeping would come.
She just popped. She's probably like, what is going on in here? She pops her head in and we're like on our microphone.
I'm straddled a table.
Oh my God.
We've rearranged the whole room.
I can't even. This is so freaking hilarious. Okay.
Well, I hope that it goes well.
It'll be fine. I will say, So I ran 19 last week, and of course, we just drove back all the way from Omaha. I got in at 4:30 in the morning on a six-hour drive. Illinois had won to go to the Sweet 16. I just drove straight back with my other son, and the game got over like 10:30, and I drove back. Got in at 4:30 a.m., and then I woke up, and at 11 a.m., I went on 19 miles. I wasn't prepared, and then I had this Achilles thing. So that hurt, and then I was so dehydrated and just not feeling it. It was
knew you weren't feeling when you started.
I had to call you. I'm like, can you get me Gatorade? You drove over to me. My last 3 or 4 miles, I was just dying. I finished though, but it was killing me. I'm like, oh, every long run I've had since up until that 19, I was great. But now I'm a little worried because my Achilles hurts, and my last run I just didn't prepare. I need to have a night where I'm drinking fluids and getting
noodles, carbs,
pizza or pasta before. I didn't have any of that. I was stupid.
Well,
prep is very important. I didn't prep.
And we've learned that from the previous.
Yes, yes. So anyways.
Well, I'm hoping for your most successful, which is coming up in the spring.
It'll be fine.
On one of the pods, I don't know if it'll have come out yet, but we talked about our most favorite moment of our lives. Mm. And one of the most favorite moment of my life was when we went to your parents in Chicago. We went to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Ate pizza.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Prior to that day of the marathon.
Yeah, that's right.
You had this beautiful, wonderful marathon.
Yeah.
I love watching and chasing you on these marathons.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's a whole, especially a big city like Chicago.
It is so emotional.
Because every neighborhood you're going through, they're lined with people. Yeah, it's just fun. I mean, it's...
We chase him around because we have points on our phone. We're trying to find him.
And then, you see me come by.
Yeah. Oh, it is the best. I mean, I've had Nolan in a carrier in my front with a stroller at some points, seeing Andrew at the finish line at the stadium with the babies. I mean, it was just these great moments.
I remember that as a kid. See, my dad ran, he's run 20 marathons. So I remember as a kid, the Chicago, New York, Boston, and seeing him race and doing that same thing. And it was always fun. I remember when I was in law school, he ran the New York Marathon, and I got to see him. I came over from New Jersey and took the subway over, and I got to see him in Central Park.
Oh, neat.
So that was fun. I got to see him kind of by myself. I found out where he was coming.
Oh, and surprised him.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw him over there. So that was fun.
And now the boys are old enough, so they were babies. I was pregnant at times. Yep. And now they can hold their own signs.
That's right, yeah.
How does it feel for you as a marathoner when you do see us?
Oh, I love it. It's great. No, it's good. Yeah, I don't know. I just like the mental part of it, challenge.
Yeah. But does it give you a boost when you see someone you know?
Oh, 100%, yeah, because it gives you that little extra energy to keep going. Yeah, it does.
And, that dinner when we ate at that nice restaurant with your parents, you said this was you've never felt happier. You were absolutely euphoric.
But then it's funny, though. You do get euphoric, but then there's always a come down. You know what I mean? Just with anything, any emotion people feel when they're all happy and they're all really good, adrenaline or you're feeling good, there's always a balance, I've noticed. And there's always a come down, so you got to be careful of that. It's just the way chemically our brains are wired, I think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
After a wedding?
Any after throwing big a party, event. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's always a come down. And I think I've realized that through my training.
Yeah.
And just with anything in life, there's always going to be oh, it's over and you get sad.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is the come down from the good times and the, the natural,
But at least we're able to identify it now.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's good to identify that.
Yeah. And is that why I'm feeling this way?
Yeah. It's just an emotion you got to deal with. Really, it is. And that's all part of life.
So speaking of the come down.
Oh, God.
Do you want to talk about the Illini?
No, the Illini was great. I mean, so we started, we went to Iowa, their last regular season game. We decided to go
family.
As a family. We road tripped there and got to see them win.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Great.
Went to Iowa City. And then
what happened?
They played in the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis. They won the first two games. And then...
Now, who did you take there?
So you had your surgery on Thursday, that Thursday.
My nurse planned to leave.
Yeah. And then Illinois played Friday. They beat Ohio State in a close game. Then we beat Nebraska on Saturday, and we went to dinner that Saturday night after the game. We just went to El Toro right by our house, and we were sitting there, and you're like, you should go to the game, take the boys, because I think you just wanted to rest. Like, for you, it was like, if you get the boys out of the house, you'll probably rest more.
Oh my God.
100%. So I was like, really? And you're like, yeah, just go, but you gotta take the boys. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, it was a 7-hour drive. It was if I leave at I think the game was at 2. So I was like, if we leave by like 6 or 5:30, we'll get there plenty of time. So I went and got tickets, and me and Fletcher and Nolan just road tripped it up to Minneapolis that morning and saw Illinois play a great game, and they won, and the confetti was flying, and we were right there, and it was just awesome. And we had a great memory, great times, and the boys loved it. And, you know, we got to stick around for the awards ceremony, and like the players were, you know, it was just really fun. And then we were like, oh, you know, Illinois got the 3 seed. They're going to play in Omaha. And I was like, oh, we're going to these games. So we got tickets. I only could get 2 through the iFund. And so I was like, I'll take Fletcher one day and I'll take they win, which they should when they did. And I'll take Nolan the next game. So we did that. I drove there and back to Omaha.
Hence the Achilles.
I didn't want to stay in a hotel, and I kind of had to work, and Fletcher had school. So I was like, listen, I don't care. I'll make it work. I can do 6.5 hours driving. So I drove to Omaha Thursday and back, and then we drove to Omaha Saturday and back.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of driving. I mean, Minneapolis in the back, you know, it's like over 500 miles away. So that's 1,000. And then it's about 500 to Omaha back. So it's like, that's probably 3,000 miles in like 7 days.
Yes.
It's a lot of traveling.
And that lands us in Boston.
And then, came to Boston, and we just were like, let's all go out as a family. And you weren't totally sure, but then you came, and we got a room, and I bought you guys tickets, and my brother came out here, and we got a couple tickets, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, what happens to the first game?
First game, we win. We beat Iowa State, and it's awesome. We're staying at the Illini Hotel, which is great. So there's like players walking by us, and the kids are like high-fiving in the elevators. And
got to meet personally Dane Danger.
Yeah, Dane Danger, Coleman, DeMatt. You know, all those guys. We talked Terrence Shannon.
Literally, every time you get in the elevator, you see another player.
There was another guy, exactly. Yeah, it was great. And a lot of Illini families and friends, you know, people that are here with the team that we know, Miss Biggs and all them.
Miss Biggs is St. Matt's principal.
Yeah, so no, we had a great time. We loved it. I would never change it for anything. I mean, it's just been a really fun, memorable weekend.
And let's talk about last night.
Then we played UConn. Tons of UConn fans, really obnoxious fans.
I'd say 75% to 25%.
Tons. They were loud. And it was a close game. We just did not shoot the ball well. We had probably our worst shooting game of the year happen last night. It's fine. It happens. You know what I mean? We still had a great season. We still won the Big Ten tournament. So I'm happy. You know, our program is on the rise. So I'm excited. We'll be back. But I got Emily and the boys tickets. Yeah. So my brother and I had like seats to the office. We had really good seats, and then I got you 3 tickets, kind of usually
secondary
behind the
market.
Basket. Yeah, but they were good seats.
Can I tell this? Can you just stop?
You tell
Take
this.
A deep breath.
All right, sorry.
Take a drink of water.
All right, Emily, you go.
Patrick Harrington and Andrew Harrington are brothers, and they are seated amongst a small sea of Illini fans. We got secondary tickets after the fact, and we are among majority UConn fans. Good seats, okay? So this is the second game. We sit down, and immediately I'm getting a bad vibe. There's 3 25-year-old dudes, and I'm talking about bruss, okay? And they are amped up. And he starts talking. I can hear him. I'm watching him because they don't sit down. I'm watching him talk to his friend. He says, I'm lightheaded. And they are like bouncing, literally bouncing. They are so pumped. And the entire time, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're standing, they're high-fiving, they're doing the wave, they're doing the UConn chants. And we are fighting, but we start to steadily really lose a handle on the score of the game. Now, they are really yelling at Shannon a lot, right? And my son, the 7-year-old, is wearing a Shannon jersey, the Terrence Shannon Jr. We all know that there is a scandal going on, and he's in court and doing all that to battle that. So we also all know that the competition is really attacks him, right? If he gets the ball or he shoots or he misses. And so I'm listening to this, and it's making me upset because I know my son's in the Shannon jersey, and they're even like R-wording, you know what I mean, as we're walking into the game and all of that. So I'm on edge, and we're steadily losing, right? And after halftime, we've lost the handle on the game, and the guy says, now you finally know what no means no, and I just screamed, shut the F up. I screamed at the dude, right? He turns around, he goes, no, I won't, and he goes, and you're bad parenting, and blah, blah, blah. Now, he either said bad parenting because Nolan was in a Shannon jersey, or because I had said the F word. I'm not sure why. But then everyone around me, UConn and Illinois fans, again, it's about
7 UConn to 3 Illini fans are yelling at this guy, "You're an a-hole." So everyone is on my side, which makes me feel really good. But after I yell, I look over at Nolan and he's in tears because he does not like to see me upset like that, right? Lose control like that. So he starts, "Andrew, don't." And then about this time, Andrew texts me, he has no idea what's going on. If Andrew was sitting in those seats, Andrew would not have lasted 10 minutes because the guy was that obnoxious, right? That guy, when UConn made a shot, you could see him physically break out in a sweat. He was so amped, okay? He was so invested. And so Andrew texts me, "Is there any seats by you?" Because the game is about blown out.
Game's out of reach. I'm like, "I'm going to go sit by." I was like, "I swear there was a seat by you." I was like, "I remember there's an open seat." Oh, God, she's here again.
Housekeeping.
And I was like, "Man, there's like another, I know there's a seat by you guys." I'm like, "I'm going to come sit by them. I'd just rather watch the end of the game with you guys." I mean, we were down by like 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "I just want to go sit by you guys and just like sit and be with you guys." I told Patrick, like, "I'm going to go sit over there." So then I go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in tears, and Nolan's in tears. I'm like, "What?" And there's some guys talking to you, like, mm-hmm. not the guy that was giving you stuff, but the guys were like consoling you. I was like, "Oh," I'm like, "What's going on?" You're like shaking your head, and they're like, "Oh, this guy." And I immediately just like went. I was like, "Are you?" And I got in these guys' faces, and I was like,
the surrounding guys started to tell Andrew what was going on.
Yes,
like they were being mean to your wife or your kids. Fletcher's crying. Nolan's crying. Yeah. I'm crying.
Yeah,
and Andrew gets in the dude's faces.
I know. And I told him, I said, "If you say one word, I'll rip your effing head off."
He just goes bonkers.
And they...
Now we're down by 20 anyway.
I'm like nose to nose in this guy's face. I just couldn't... I'm not going to take a swing at him because I don't want to get arrested in front of my family. But I was like, if they would have done something, it was on. And so I just got in his face and I said, "Are you kidding me? You're making my wife and kids cry." What? And I was just, I remember just going off on him. I don't even know what he said, but I was so riled up.
It was blind
rage.
There
was three of them. And I got in there and they were like, "We didn't do anything." You know, they, of course, they cowered like little cowards they are and didn't do anything. And so I got security over. And I think other people, too, even the guys behind you were like, they were new. And I was like, "Yeah."
Everyone started gang up on these guys.
I know.
Guys.
Everyone was kind of like, getting security
people
over there.
People were handing me tissues.
So then I just stood there behind them and looked at them for like, this is like the last like 2 or 3 minutes of the game.
Awful.
So they were kind of cheering. And they were, of course, they were quiet. You know, they didn't want to look back. And I was literally like breathing on them behind them, And then the security came over and was, I think, a couple of them. And like told them, to leave or something. I don't know. But then the game ended while security was there. And then I said a few words again in their face and we left because the game was over.
People were telling us, get him out of here. Like,
get
you out.
Yeah.
And then people were mad at security for not kicking those guys out.
Yeah. And I kind of yelled at the security on the way out. I was like, "Are you kidding me? You're going to let this fly?"
Even the UConn fans.
Yeah. The UConn fans. Everyone was like, "These guys are assholes. They're being assholes. Get them out of here." And they wouldn't do it. And I told the security guard, I got angry with him. I was like, "You got to be kidding me."
It was the first time maybe ever I felt where you just go black. Like, you can't control what's coming out of your mouth.
I was debating whether to pour my water on him or flip his hat off, but I don't know.
We're around the kids.
I know. If the kids weren't there, it would have been a different story, but yeah.
I have never yelled "shut the F up."
I know. I didn't know what happened.
Yeah, you didn't even know what happened.
I didn't know what happened. I just saw you guys in tears, so I just went into like a rage.
It was bad. It was a mess.
Yeah, so that was kind of like tainted the night, but I will say we walked home. We took a nice walk home. Calmed down, and then Nolan and I went to like an ice cream shop like by our hotel, which is like across the river. And we went to this little ice cream shop, and I will say this, no one in there like had any idea a game was going on, and it was kind of refreshing because an old guy came up to you and was like, "Oh, Illinois, oh, you had a good game." It's like, "I'm from Missouri," and like no one there had an idea. They're all kind of like, some were like kind of hippish college kids. I don't know, from a college around there, maybe MIT I think is around here. They had no idea a game was going on. It was so refreshing to be in a place and get ice cream with Nolan, because he was upset from, what happened to the game, and just eat ice cream and like not think about the game and just have people that are just going on with their lives and not, you know what I mean? It was just, it kind of like brought me down. I was like, all right, I feel fine now.
The way you would have handled the loss here is different than when you would have handled the loss at home. You would have really ruminated on it.
Well,
at home.
Yeah. I mean,
you snapped out of it.
Yeah, here. I snapped out. And I will say, I think losing the way we lost, I was already like kind of over it by the time the game was over. You know what I mean? Like, you're already going through those emotions. If we lost at the buzzer, that would have probably been a different story. Yeah. And then those guys, I mean, I just, on the whole walk home, I was just like really upset. And then I finally calmed down when we got to that ice cream place.
Final score?
I think it was like we lost by like 25, maybe. It was like it just 77 to 52 or something. Yeah. I mean, we just had our worst offense. We couldn't make anything. It's just a bad game. But it is what, you know, that's, you play the game, you know. I mean, the UConn's, I think, the best team. So we had to play our best game. We didn't. Mm. So, you know, it is what it is. I will say, I love that we, what we did. Like, these memories, going to Iowa, going to Minneapolis, going to Omaha, and even here, like, those are memories these kids are going to remember for the rest of their lives. So I'm just like happy we did it.
You know, are you glad I came?
100%. You love it. You love, you're like, I want to move to Boston. We went to Salem.
That was fun.
We, you know, we took a train. It's like 20 minutes away to Salem, and we did like a ghost tour and saw like the witch trial stuff. And, you know, Fletcher's learning about that in social studies, so it's kind of fun to see
Paul
that.
Revere's house.
Paul Revere's house.
Oh, the science museum.
Science museum.
Aquarium.
Aquarium. Yeah, we've done it all.
Do you want to talk about what happened at the science museum when we had a snack?
What did
happen? With my drink.
Oh my God, Emily. She carries around these, like, emergency, like, calcium. What is it?
Vitamin C packets.
Vitamin C packets.
A powder.
She gets, like, a soda water.
Carbonated drink.
A carbonated drink. It's like a plain soda water. I don't even know what it was. And we're at the, like, cafeteria. The boys are having, like, a little snack in this science museum. And Emily, all of a sudden, pours this vitamin C into her soda water, and it starts fizzing. Like, it's like a volcano, you know, when you pour, like, the
we're
chemicals.
We're kind of in, like, a full cafeteria.
So it's, like, all of a sudden, it's, like, squirting. And she puts it on her mouth to try to stop it, and it just, like, explodes everywhere. And she's, like,
yeah. All over Anders, the table, his backpack.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
I haven't seen you laugh that hard in a long time.
It was so funny. Because she tried to hold it with her mouth, but, like, you can't. I mean, it's, like, carbonated, like, chemical reaction where it's just going to, like, keep
fizzing. To catch the carbonation.
And it just, like, it just came out of, like, every orifice and, like,
nose, mouth.
Like, an explosion all over everywhere.
I'm so glad we were, like, not.
It was hilarious.
In a place we
it
know
was
people.
So funny.
Yeah, it's been a really good trip.
Been a great trip.
Really good trip.
And the you know, the first day we got here was raining all day, but like last 2 days have been, weather's been awesome.
Gorge.
Yeah.
Gorge Majorge.
Yeah.
Okay, there's three things, like, backstories that we need to touch on.
Okay.
As we're wrapping up our lives, because this has been, like, kind of a busy couple weeks.
I know.
Right?
It has been. I know. I feel like I haven't been in the office much. I always feel, like, weird when I'm gone from the office.
Yeah, you don't like being, like, that unproductive feeling.
Yeah.
I want you to tell a story, because there's a dynamic between Andrew and I where if the building was burning, he would run into it. And I would turn around, walk away, and pretend I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And that happened on one Friday evening.
It's fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fight, I fly.
Yeah.
Although I fought last night.
You did.
Those dudes.
And then you were in tears, and I was like, what is going on? I didn't know, like, you told me to shut the F up till later.
Would that have changed it, though?
No, I don't think so, because they, like...
They told me I was a bad parent.
Yeah, now that... Yeah. I mean, these dudes are just the typical bros, like... Oh my God. Like, if you had a stereotypical, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I wanted to just freaking.
It changed my perception of, like, a fanatic fan. You cannot be like that. You're not like that, though.
Oh, these guys, I mean, they needed to get put in their place. And I kind of wish I would have, like, body checked them over the seat a little bit.
No way.
I was going to.
You did plenty. Okay. I pretend I don't see the burning building. You run into it. Yep. What happened at Schnucks on a Friday evening?
Well, this is like 3 weeks ago. On a Friday night, I go to the grocery store. Emily's like, so I think we were leaving the next day. I don't know.
You were probably going to Omaha or something.
And she's like, can you go to the grocery store on Friday night? I'm like, sure. It's like 6:30.
Andrew does our grocery shopping.
I usually go on Saturdays, but lately it's been Friday nights because we've been traveling a lot. So I go on Friday nights. I get it for like the following week, get all the groceries. And go on a Friday night. You're dialing me down. I go do my grocery shopping. I'm leaving. This is literally about 7 o'clock at night. I think it's before the
dark.
Yeah, it just got dark. This is before daylight savings, like the week before. And or maybe it was after. I don't know. But it was like 7 o'clock dark. Mm-hmm. I just leave the grocery store. I'm going down Burwash Drive back to Prospect. I see this haunting figure going down the sidewalk out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, what the hell is that? I was like, did I just see a naked person walking down the street? I mean, I literally just got out of Schnucks, and there's a Girl Scout table with girls selling Girl Scout cookies. This dude's walking by Burwash by Montessori School. I don't even know if it's a dude or a woman. I'm like, is that person naked? I know there's like nursing homes around there, memory care places. I'm like, what is going on? And everyone's just driving by. There's cars driving by. I'm like, I got to turn around. So I turn around. Just to make sure, I'm like, I don't think I got to see if I saw a naked person.
Again, I would have kept driving
very
home.
Slowly, like very tall, very skinny, very almost looked like anorexic tall person walking down the road naked. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Friday night, 7 o'clock. I turn my car around, and sure enough, it's someone naked, slowly, like a zombie, walking down the sidewalk, like a zombie, very slowly.
Not emergency.
Not a, like really slowly strolling. Disoriented. I'm like, this dude is high on something, or he's very disoriented. Honestly, I thought it was a woman at first. Like, it was like someone that escaped from like Silence of the Lambs sex dungeon kind of thing.
Yeah, it did look like that dude.
It had a kind of a feminine gait. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see. I just saw the back, and it was just butt naked, nothing on. Total butt naked, very tall, very skinny.
No keys, no nothing, purse, no wallet.
Very skinny, like extremely skinny, no meat on those bones, tall, walking down the street butt naked. So I go slow, and I'm like, what the f-? So I immediately call 911, and I'm like following this person. I'm like, yeah, there's a naked person walking slowly. I don't know if they've escaped from one of these homes or what's going on, but we need, you know, I was like, someone probably needs to come check this out. They're like, okay, they're asking me my name. They're getting information. Well, then this person keeps walking. I'm like trailing it slowly. And they turn down the alley behind Savoy 16. There's that alley that goes right behind Savoy 16. And then it goes right behind Buffalo Wild Wings and Schnucks. There's that alley. It goes all the way to Curtis.
Yes, 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 yes.
So I just follow it. And I'm following this person with, and then I decide to put my like taillights on, I think. And I'm just going, I'm staying like 50 yards behind with my lights on. I'm just slowly creeping behind him until a cop got there because I'm on the phone.
No, but you turn on your video camera.
Well, that was at the end.
Okay.
Because I'm like, you know, I'd better, because this guy, then he started turning around. I finally realized it was a guy, and he started turning around and looking at me.
So did you see his package?
He looked a little disoriented. No, I didn't, never really saw the package.
But you knew it was a dude.
It was like 40 degrees out, so it was very cold. And this dude is walking.
Meaning
so,
shrinkage.
Shrinkage, or just like, how is this dude not freezing? Because I'm wearing like a coat and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I was in the 30s.
I'm like, this dude has got to be cold. So I'm like, he's probably high on something where he's like whacked out of his mind. So finally, this guy, the cops are on their way, she says.
Okay.
The cops are on the way. He finally gets all the way. This person gets, first of all, so you asked about the videotaping. I was worried this guy started looking back at me that he was going to like charge my car after a while. Because he started looking back more. Like, I think he realized I was following him.
You had your headlights right on his baton.
I'm not going to let someone walk down the street naked while there's Girl Scout and Girl Scout cookies walking by Montessori school. I'm not going to let that fly. You can't just walk down the street naked and like not have anything happen. Like,
and approaching Curtis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's Curtis approaching Skateland. He's taking a right now next to Skateland. I'm like, there's kids around here. This is not going to fly. Like, I don't know if this dude's high on something, but he's not going to just walk around naked and nothing happen. Like, I will make sure he gets the cops or something's going to happen because I'm not going to let this fly. Mm. So anyways, I'm tailing him. And I was like, I better like record this in case he like goes into like a bath salt rage and like jumps on my car and like gets superhuman strength and tries to like break my windows or something, even though he's butt naked. So I kind of recorded him. And finally, when he got to Curtis, took a right, and I had my blinkers on, I finally got the courage to like drive up to him. Because I feel like, well, there's other people around now. Maybe I can like, you know, if he comes at me, there'll be other people. So then I finally come up to him like, hey. He's like, what? He's like screaming at me. I'm like, you're naked. He's like, rawr. He's just like really disoriented. I'm like, you're naked. You're walking around naked. He's like, no, I'm not. I don't know. Then he kind of like picked up his pace a little bit. Like, I don't know if it like clicked in his mind that like, uh-oh, something's going on.
Yeah.
So then he takes a right at the street right after Skateland, those Kobuk apartments. Mm-hmm. And he goes quickly up into those apartments. And I videotape him going into one of the apartments.
Mm-hmm. So now we know where he lives.
Know where he lives. And finally, the cops finally get there. There's like three sheriffs. And they were like, I saw him took a left down the wrong way, then they turned around. I was like, oh, I see. Because I was on the phone with the dispatcher, like, oh, I just saw him drive by. And then they came up to me, like three cop cars, and they tried to get the guy. He wouldn't come out. The cop at first thought he was on like these new kind of drugs that make your body temperature go really high, where people strip off their clothes and they kind of get crazy. But they said, well, you know, we'll take it from here. He's not coming out. So I went home, but the cop, I gave him my number. They called me later that night and texted me and said, hey, just want to let you know, thanks for doing what you did. Not many people would have done that. We only got two calls from it, so thank you for calling in. Because he's like, we never would have solved this one. But they got the guy, finally got him to come out. He's had like serious mental health issues. Like, he's been in institutions before, and his family was worried about
toilet
him.
Toilet again.
His family was worried about him. He's being like, he went to like a mental health evaluation at the hospital. But thank
How
you for...
How old?
He was like in his 60s.
Oh, dang.
And they were worried about him, and apparently they said he thought he had like his magic suit on when he went out. Like, that's how like kind of crazy he was. Like, he thought he was wearing his magic suit, but really he was just butt naked.
I thought it was eerie about your video,
but they thanked it. Yeah, they thanked it. I know. I don't want to.
He followed the sidewalks perfectly. He was not in a hurry, Andrew.
No.
It was wild.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was, you know, inexperience. Yeah. So that's me. There's another day in the life of Andrew.
Vigilante.
Another day in the life.
Protecting just the community.
Random naked people walking around Savoy. Not in my book, though. Not when there's girls, young girls selling Girl Scout cookies, and there's Montessori school, and they got kids at Skateland. I'm not going to let this dude just walk around naked. And it was funny because the cop was like, she came up to me, and when they first saw him, I was like, did you see him masturbate? I'm like, no. I'm like, he was just walking. Like, they thought he was like, I don't know. Like, you know the questions they have. They're like, did you see him? I was like, no. I was like, he was just walking.
They probably could have got him on a different charge or
something. I don't know. Or like, they thought, well, because no one understood, like, why is he walking around naked? Is he like a pervert or something? Like,
sure.
You know,
no, I didn't shoes,
know,
no socks.
I didn't know what it was. Yeah, but it turns out he's just like very had severe mental health issues where he's like totally deranged. Not deranged, but you know, he's and I felt bad. Honestly, at first I was like, this guy's like high on something. But once they said he had like severe mental issues, I kind of felt bad later that night.
Sure.
And I will say, we went to dinner after that. Remember, like when I came home, I told you about the story. That was before the cops texted me later that night and said they got it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like kind of haunted by that. Like, it was kind of, like, weird. I had a hard time eating that night just because the whole thing was so strange. It was, like, it was just a very weird experience. I was like, man, that's just very strange. And I got, like, when that guy went into his apartment, he obviously knew I was following him. I was like, is he going to come out with, like, a gun or something? It was just really weird.
Sometimes it's hard to realize that things happen so close to your home.
Yeah. And then I was like, man, I like, have an appreciation for, like, police.
Oh,
I know, like,
God.
They get... Like, that they have to deal with this stuff.
100%.
Like, knocking on some dude's door that's, like, obviously got problems. You don't know if he's, like, hot. Like, when the cops at first thought he was, like, on some drugs.
You like, never know what's on the other side of the door.
I know. And, like, you're trying to get and they were all around his apartment, and he wouldn't come out. It was just very strange.
Yeah.
But hearing, like, his family was worried about him, and he's got, like, mental health issues. Like, yeah, I was like, okay, I hope this guy, like, gets
You saw
help.
It with empathy.
I did, yeah.
Sometimes I give you a hard time because I think you're, like, too nice.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this goes into our next subject. And the next kind of thing on our radar right now is your tenant management.
Oh, yeah. It's not a tenant management.
It is tenant management. You're managing their emotions now. You become like a camp counselor.
We have two apartments. One's a duplex. One's a house.
A therapist.
And I get these like calls. Like, you know, I have four college kids in one. And this one's like... calls me randomly. I think we were driving
to
Iowa.
Traveling.
It was like a Saturday. It might have even been a Sunday. Like 3
noon.
I'm like, when he calls me, I'm like, damn it, what's broken now?
Because
like,
this guy is the squeaky wheel.
It's fine, but I'm like, great. One time, you know, window broke. One time, the air conditioning was out. I'm like, great. I'm like, damn it, what's gone now? Like, I'm thinking money down. You know, like, we're gonna have to pay for something. What repairs do we have to do now? And I get a call from them like on a random Sunday.
This
so he calls me and he's like, hey, he's like, I really think. This other roommate's a hoarder, and I'm like, okay. He's like, he's got his cars. He's splitting wood in the back for firewood and blah, blah, blah. And if he doesn't, I'm going to... He's telling me he had, like, a come-to-Jesus, like, argument with this guy the other night.
Did he say come-to-Jesus?
Yeah, he's like, we had a big talk and a come-to-Jesus moment where I was really... And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well... I was like, well, I'm out of town. I'll go by there on Tuesday and check it out. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, is he, I don't know if this kid's like in breach of the lease, but like, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, I told him I'd give him a week. I'm like, okay, well, like, what do you want me to do? Like,
you didn't say that though. You said, oh, okay, I'll come check it out.
Yeah, no, I was like, I'll look at it. I mean, yeah. Listen, when these guys rented for me in the first place, they were like repairing motorcycles in the garage. Mm-hmm. And I understood that. Like this guy, he takes apart engines in his car and fixes it. So I'm not gonna like kick him out. Like I know he works on cars. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna like deal with roommate squabbles.
That's what's frustrating for me.
Yeah.
As a college kid,
yeah.
I would never have called my realtor and said I'm having
or your
a
landlord.
Fight.
Yeah, your landlord.
Yes.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know.
I'm having a fight with my roommate.
I know, it's like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. I just was like, yeah, I'll go look at it. I'm like, I don't, what do you want me to do? Like, they use, listen, the garage is kind of like falling apart, but they use it as like a shop. So I'm like, great. Use it as continue to use it as a shop. I don't care. That's, you know, I figure that's why they like the house. You know,
handle
what I mean?
It yourself.
Yeah, handle it yourself. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like if there's a car that I was like, is the parking okay? He was like, yeah. Cause I was like, okay, if he's got cars in the back and you can't park, then I'll tell him to get it out. Thank you. Oh, that was nice. She's
was
like,
nice.
She's probably like, what are they doing? Anyways.
That's the housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Anyways.
Across the street. We own the duplex.
Then we have the duplex across the street. Yeah.
And Andrew's become a personal relationship. I think we spoke about this particular tenant previously. Yeah. or in an upcoming pod where she pays 100% with cash down to the quarters for the 50
cents. She pays with cash. She's very nice. She had a boyfriend when she moved in. And I'll never forget the first day I wanted to bring him a letter.
First, you stepped in dog poop.
But I brought him a letter and I was like, hey, I'm your landlord. Just to give notice that I'm the new landlord. You can pay me rent here and there, blah, blah, blah. So I went over there one night after work and I brought them this letter and knocked on the door. I probably should have texted him. I didn't. And I knocked on the door.
Stepped in dog
shit. Her boyfriend, this big guy, opens the door. All of a sudden, the dogs run out, and he screams at the top of his lungs, Precious! Like their dog. He's like, get over here! He's like screaming. And I'm like, dude, I'm right here. He's like screaming at the dog to come back in, which is fine.
Describe this guy.
Big? Very big. Very big. I'm like, first of all, he's not on the lease. I could have said something like, you're not supposed to be here.
But you're
whatever.
Too nice.
I don't
Next.
Care. Just pay me my money. Whatever. Anyways, turns out they break up. She calls me like a month ago.
Was
like,
on hey, a Saturday.
No,
you fixed the door. You fixed the door.
I fixed her door.
She said the door wasn't
lumped. When we bought the place, her door apparently wasn't like very like airtight. So
airtight.
So we fixed the door for her. And then.
So we fixed the door. The door is nice, secure.
Yep. She came to pay my rent one day and she's like, hey, because she pays like pet fees for her two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
An extra like $25 a month for each dog. I don't care. That's fine. It's an extra $50 for us. So she tells me, well, her boyfriend and her broke up and he took one of the dogs. Okay. I was like, that's fine. I'm like, well, yeah, just pay me, you know, one less pet fee. We'll call it, you know. She's like, okay, great. Thanks. So she starts doing that.
Next.
Yeah. What am I? Listen.
Next. Keep going.
Anyways, finally.
Saturday noon. Another call.
I'm on a run. This is like 2 weeks ago. I'm on my long run.
Wait, pause. The week before that, she locked herself out.
Okay. The week before that, I get a call.
Saturday at noon.
I get a call like Saturday and she's like, locked myself out. We have extra keys. So Emily, you have to go give her the letter.
Yep.
And
on training for the marathon.
Yep. So that was fine. We did that.
Next Saturday.
Literally the next Saturday, I'm on the same long run. She calls me again.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, hey, she's like, I'm in Minnesota, but, she has like a video camera in her apartment. She's like, I just got on the video. My ex-boyfriend came, kicked the door in.
Brand new. Fixed door.
Stole the dog.
Precious.
That she
gone.
Has there. Precious, the pit bull, stole their dog and left. I'm like,
why is the dog in the house all, alone when she's in Minnesota?
She just leaves the dog in a cage. But apparently someone was going to come walk it and take it around. You know, take it out a lot, which is fine. It is what it is. But so I was like, well, did you call the police? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to call it now. I'm like, well, call the police. And I'm like over by like campus. So I like probably like mile 10. I get like a second wind because I'm like, is this dude like around the apartment? So I like sprint like 2 miles to the apartment. I see a cop there and I talk to him like, yeah, I'm the owner. And he's very nice, this guy. And we talked for a while. He's like, yeah, there's not much we can do. It's like a domestic issue. You know, it's like their dogs together. So I think the guy just like got it out. I went, of course, the freaking door is busted. We just got it fixed. I was pissed off about that. So we have to get it fixed again. The door is all jacked up. Yeah, and that's just, you know.
And then what happens, honey? So you're like, okay, we're going to fix the door.
Fix the door.
Have a good day. She calls you.
She calls me again the next week. She's like, doesn't want to live there anymore because she's like got a restraining order on this guy. She's like scared to live there. She's been in a hotel room.
That her job's paying for.
It's like a domestic issue. And I'm not going to like hold her in the apartment.
Too nice.
Too nice. I'm not going to like, you owe me money. Yeah, stay here and be scared and wherever you're at. No, I'm like. So I let her
out of the lease.
Well, I said, listen, I'll let you stay in here and get your stuff out. We'll release it, which is fine. I'll get in there. We'll paint it. We'll get it fixed up.
Which is really what you wanted to do all along.
Yeah. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to hold her to it. If she's like threatening her boyfriend as some psychotic, like criminal, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean?
As of this weekend, she should be out of the apartment.
She should be out. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to her tomorrow and hopefully get her, you know, get her stuff out. She better get all her.
If someone's interested in leasing,
she's got that
how can
minivan
they contact
there.
You?
She better get that minivan because that minivan's got a flat ass tire on it. I don't know how she's going to get that out of there. Anyways,
Andrew.
That's not my problem. She better get it out.
Andrew.
She's very nice, though, but I feel bad for her.
She's fine. She's resilient.
I don't know.
If someone wants to rent, what can they do from you? I'm serious.
Contact me.
DM me or DM at Droidsta.
Yeah. No. Instagram, Droidsta, Twitter, or agharrington83@gmail.com.
I'll tell you one thing. Andrew is a great landlord.
Oh, people love me. Dude.
Yeah, you are.
People love me. They got the direct connect here.
Well, we have what? God, we've been going. This is great. This is good content.
It's all about good service, Emily.
Andrew, speaking of, homes, repairs.
Oh, God.
Once again, another flood in our basement.
Oh, yeah. This is a bad one.
After a really long day, I've showered, I'm clean, I'm perfumed, I'm in my jammies, my feet are lotioned.
It's a beautiful spring day.
I have socks on. It is that part of the day when everything is done and I'm going to bed. Saying goodnight, Andrew's in his chair, his comfy chair, playing that, what is that, Jewel game?
Oh, yeah. I stopped playing that, but yeah, it's like
you bullshit, you stopped playing.
I haven't played in a while. It's too much. It's like,
till we get on the airplane?
Yeah, it's like my game I play when we're traveling.
What is it?
It's called like King's Ransom or something.
You're playing
it's like
home.
A Candy Crush game. I know.
Okay. Okay. And so I go to like throw the dirties in the laundry for the morning.
Yeah.
And I step down that final step. Soaked ass my feet, and this time it is a solid inch.
But it doesn't.
Of water.
It doesn't smell.
It's fresh water, which is wonderful.
It doesn't smell.
Then the second good part, we haven't started our demolition and construction.
Yeah.
Third part, we now own a wet vac, which I think is the best investment we've ever made.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're like, where the hell is this water coming from?
Oh God, Andrew starts.
We finally deduced it. That we had just hooked up our hoses for the first time, and we ran our hose on by our bedroom.
Post-winter.
And the hose by that backyard bedroom, the pipe had froze and cracked. And you don't know it cracks in between the faucet and where it shuts off in the house. It can crack in between there if there's water. You don't really know that'll happen until, like, the first time you use it. And so I remember you were like, you had the hose on, but you were like, the water's not coming out.
Yeah,
remember
that?
It was like a drip. And you're like, huh, it's not coming. And I think you had it running for a while. And then even I did. I'm like, yeah, it's really not working that well. So we just had it going for a while. Little do we know, it's like spilling into the basement.
Through the crawl space.
Yeah. And it gets through like the cinder blocks and it's like coming up. And I'm like, fuck. So then I literally like that night from like 10:30 to about 1 a.m., I'm shop vacuuming buckets and buckets of water. And I cleaned it up well. So yeah, that was the latest, and we figured out that was it. We got it repaired.
Just right a really that. Thorough mop.
And it honestly, after that, I was like,
I'm done.
I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, I'm not doing the basement anymore. I'm like, this is too much of a sign. I'm like, we're just not going to redo the basement. We're just going to leave it. I'm like, done. I'm like, forget it. I'm out.
And then we recover from that, and we're back into our construction mode.
Yeah, I'm like,
we're scared. We're scared, Andrew. We're scared.
I don't know what to do anymore.
We're scared.
At one point, I was like, I just can't deal with an old house anymore. I was like, we're just going to move.
It has nothing to do with an old house.
I know, but it's just like,
you leave your hose in for the winter.
Yeah.
New house or old house?
I know. And I think it was that back one because it's so low to the ground. I think we accidentally left it on. Like the pipe.
There's no wee boo boo boo.
Yeah. She likes to say, oh, you left it on.
That was your job. That was your job.
She put flowers out there so damn early.
Okay. So. Are you kidding me?
No, but like, why?
Are you kidding me?
I'm kidding. Yes. But I had to unplug him again because it got really cold again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are we pussing blame?
Pussing? What? Get your head out of the gutter.
Are we placing blame?
No, but you're placing blame on me.
Because it's your fault.
Okay. See what I deal with.
How many floods have we had in the basement?
This house? Like three? At least.
No, more than that,
probably
babe.
Four.
I think we've had three in the last couple months.
I know. It's been, we've had three lately. Three in the last year.
Five total?
Three since July of last year.
God, Andrew.
Yeah. And we're going to like redo our basement.
And we're in the process of planning, redoing, picking finishes.
Just done. I know.
It was stressful. Andrew, this has been just chock full of content.
I know.
It's been an active month.
I'm ready to settle down.
Are you? You hate settling down.
Soiled my oats.
You soiled?
I don't know.
Soiled your oats?
Yeah.
So
my oats. Anyways, what?
So your wild oats.
Anyways, well, it's been a good month. Now we're spring football's here. Spring baseball. Yep.
When we turn the pot off, I'm going to go back to the beginning of this conversation when you said you're sorry and you didn't mean it.
Dude. I meant it. Can you accept it?
Do you promise?
Promise is you don't forget things.
Hell no.
Like, just let stuff roll off your shoulder.
No, you'll sweeping.
You'll live life better.
That's sweeping problems under
the
rug.
If you think about the past too much, you won't do well in the future. Okay, you got to move forward. No. Life is about moving forward.
Then
it's not about harboring resentments and feelings.
But what about sweeping things under the rug?
Dude, we've
do you believe that?
Dude, we have not swept it under the rug. You've hammered this point home.
You feel like I have?
Yeah, I think it's done.
Does the podience feel like that?
The podience?
Yeah. Is that cute? You like it? My
God, I just now get it. I thought you had a slip up. The podience.
Andrew, this has been really a pleasure.
Yeah,
I've really enjoyed my trip.
Good. Yeah. I mean, she's like legit wants to live out here. I'm like, you will not move.
I don't know why you don't think I'll move.
I'm surprised you're not talking about the Salem ghost trip where these like hooligans in the downtown Salem were like giving our ghost guide, like they were like screaming at him and like following us and honking their horns. And it almost seemed like they were like a rival tour group, these two drunk guys in their car.
I just think they were yelling
at our tour guide.
It was kind of sad because he wasn't like the coolest guy.
No, he was very funny and informative. And like these guys in their car were like, yeah, you fucking la, 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 like screaming at this guy. Like they just got out of the bar and were like messing with the guy. And it was very awkward because it was like our family. And then there's like another family with like a young girl. And the guy was like, okay, you know, our tour guy was trying to like ignore it. And these guys would just come by, honk their horns and mess with him.
Three times. So three it was like times. Harassment.
I know. And it was like 9 o'clock at night. It was very strange.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah, that's why we don't drink and drive. But yeah,
he tried to play it cool.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Andrew thinks it's a rival tour group.
I think that someone's like messing with him. It's like the turf. It's like a turf war.
I think it's Boston people like not liking this whole like.
Dude, they live in Salem. It's the whole thing is the witch thing. That's how their economy, like, it's the whole.
Witch tourism.
Yeah,
type.
The guy said on Halloween, like, for two blocks, you can't even move because there's so many people there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like,
Hawthorne Hotel is booked for a year.
Yeah, well, that one room is because there's, like, apparently a haunted room.
Oh, my God, forget that.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you, too.
It's been real. Nurse
Hey,
Andrew.
How's the pod going? Do we need to do a pod check?
See, this is what he does at the end of every
episode. Do we need to do a pod check? So you did. That's what she said.
God, we didn't have to talk about that.
You got a lot of press conference. Great speech.
Did we not talk about?
I think we did.
I think
we did. I think we did. But that was great. A great performance. Everyone did really well. I was blown away by your speech.
Thank you, Andrew. The next speech is at the art club.
Oh, yeah. See, she's getting booked for things now.
The women of Champaign County.
Yeah, my mom and grandma were art clubbers.
Yep.
Or are art clubbers. Even my aunt, too, I think.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. I think they're in Florida and they won't be there.
Okay.
But yeah. I'm a guest speaker.
Wow. See? I mean, your star is rising. There we go. Star is born.
You better hop on. Hop on the star.
Ride that train.
Hi, Uncle. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, love you.
Love you, too.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. However your podcast host of choice allows, please positively rate, review, comment, and give all the stars. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, share, and ring that notification bell so you know when the next episode drops. Also, search and follow Hyperlocal CU on all social media. If I forgot anything or you need me, visit my website at hyperlocalcu.com. Bye!